This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
So the Blackhawks, if you were paying attention over the weekend to hockey or just saw this headline, the Blackhawks and the Panthers got a deal done. Seth Jones and a fourth-round draft pick in 2026 go to Florida for a 23-year-old goalie, I believe, Spencer Knight, and a first-round draft pick that it could be 2026, could be 2027. That's conditional. But Spencer Knight to the Blackhawks is their goalie of the future, as it appears.
Rebound comes back to the line. Gavrikov over to Mikey Anderson with a wrister. Stop! Rebound! That hit a skate in front. Tries to get the rebound. Slides back to the crease, and Spencer Knight hangs on for a whistle. The empty net. Makes a move. Scores! That one will count. Another for Ryan Donato. 5-1 Hawks. They finish off the road trip with a win and keep it rolling against the Kings.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Let's go.
Good morning, Chicago. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haw, Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. Happy birthday, Chicago. 188 years old today. Don't look the day past 150. And it will be a celebration throughout the city, but over at the United Center, they are celebrating the arrival of their franchise goalie. What a great night at
the UC. No pun intended.
Pun intended.
Pun intended.
Pun intended, of course. It's me, Ruthie. Pun intended. Good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm great.
Good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Long day for you, but I'm glad that you're here. Thank you for showing up.
It's only your every day.
It's okay. So let's start there because we got a lot to get to today. Today's the NFL franchise tag deadline. We've got the Cubs and Sox in action. A lot of stuff coming out of Arizona. The Bulls are back in town. The Cavaliers are going to be the opponent. There's a lot of places we could start, but when the Blackhawks pull off a trade, which was the biggest story in town over the weekend, get rid of Seth Jones, we'll get to him in a moment, they get the goalie of the future in Spencer Knight, and he goes right into goal. He goes right into action. And the first period, the LA Kings pelted him. They attacked him. It was an onslaught, and he had 16 saves. They gave up one goal, but he had 16 shots saved. And then the rest of the night was all his. 5-1 win over the Kings. He makes 41 saves, and he was the number one star for the Hawks. It was a cool moment at the UC.
Very, very cool. We'll get into this, but I covered Spencer Knight when I worked in South Florida.
You covered almost everybody that seems to come up.
But it's they just all follow me.
You've covered a lot of people. You've had a good range.
You know, I'm not a young spring chicken.
From St. Louis to Texas, you know, to New England to Miami. But you covered Spencer Knight when he was with the Panthers when he was drafted?
When he got off to such a great start and had really an impact his rookie season. And he was a fan favorite, similar to what's happening here. And I'll save it for pick six, but there was kind of this cool tradition that started around Spencer Knight when he was just beloved by the community. And it was cool because it was kind of the time where the Florida Panthers were on the rise. Like, that was a huge part of their story and the sort of Bill Zito era and just sort of the hockey, you know, it's South Florida. There isn't a ton of hockey. Obviously, Tampa had their history.
There's not a lot of hockey tradition in South Florida.
There's not a lot of hockey tradition, but what's happened there over the last, I want to say, 5, 6, 7 years has been so cool to watch. And I think Spencer Knight played a big part in that. And it's really cool to see sort of the reception here, because Blackhawks fans need something to root for right now. And it's cool to have this Spencer Knight story be a part of it.
Well, he definitely was the center of attention, and he definitely was thrust into action. What I like about his story is that he isn't just one of these highly drafted guys that was biding his time and waiting for his turn in Florida. He came 13th overall pick 2019 out of Boston College, had a lot of success, but then encountered a little adversity. Back in 2023, it was February of 2023, he started experiencing earlier in that winter, in that season, some symptoms of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And he stepped away from hockey for a while. And then when he came back, he talked about it. And this is a early 20s, and I know, having a son a similar age, being able to confront those things and talk about those things is not easy in any situation. When you're a professional athlete, it's magnified. So I have immediately just a lot of respect for him as a pro athlete at that stage of his career. And then he comes back. He was a backup during the Cup run. He's 12-8-1 this season. He was identified as their goalie of the future. He's playing behind one of the best in the league in Bobrovsky down in Florida. So it was not easy for the Panthers to let go of him, but he had to be included in the trade for the Hawks to feel like it was worth making. And on day one, night one, if you will, he was as good as he could have been, as they could have hoped. And you said the crowd chanting his name. We'll get to the details later about how they used to do it in Florida. They were doing it last night at the United Center post-game after he won the game for the Hawks.
Well, thank you very much. And Spencer, how was that reaction? Your first home game here with the Chicago Blackhawks. You put on a great show. Way to go.
Yeah, hey, that's all. That's a team win right there. That's not just one person. And I've always loved coming playing here as an away opponent, but play here as a Blackhawk is 10 times better. Love you guys.
You might want to take this in for a second.
Yeah, one of the best arenas in sports.
How was that national anthem and being here on the home team?
Oh, best in the league. Best in the league.
Give us your thoughts. 48 hours, you get into Chicago. Last night you meet up with Kyle Davidson. You're asked, should I play? You say, absolutely, put me on that net. I think Hawk fans know what kind of confidence you have and what kind of presence you have in that net.
Yeah. I want to play. And our goal is to win here. It's not our first place or last place. We're going to go to winning hockey at some point. And that's what we're working towards.
Spencer, well said. Welcome to Chicago, my friend.
Thank you.
That was post-game at the United Center last night. Darren Pang from CHSN loving one goalie interviewing another. And it was a pretty cool moment for both of them.
It's cool to hear Spencer Knight sort of have the appreciation for the Blackhawks and the history here, you know, right off the bat for, as you mentioned, you know, he's a younger guy and, you know, he gets it. And you really felt that last night.
And you felt the paternal pride from Darren Pang, it seemed like, introducing the goalie to the Blackhawks crowd, talking about what he had done and the fact that they asked him what he wanted to do. You know, it could have been very easy to, you get traded, you get blindsided. He said he was speechless at first when he got news of the deal over the weekend. And yet he comes to Chicago and they're like, what do you want to do? And he's like, I want to play. And I like that they gave him the option. We'll talk about some of the realities of what that means roster-wise. But this was his moment. He seized it. The opportunity now down the stretch is to establish himself as the goalie of the future. And I think that's really kind of an assumed thing when he is the centerpiece of this trade, that he's going to be the guy. And that was the one piece that the Hawks, in all of this rebuilding, accumulating all these draft picks, that they didn't have. You know, if you're a football team, you need to build around something. And obviously the Hawks are building, in Chicago it's the quarterback and Caleb. The Hawks have Bedard, but you do need that goaltender that you can trust moving forward is going to be like a staple and a stabilizing force in the net.
And They have it. I mean, it's fun to see it. Obviously, night one, a lot can happen. But for him to sort of embrace the moment, feel the sort of pressure of what this trade means and the significance of this could be his home for a long time, to see him sort of embrace the moment, capitalize with the pressure, spotlight was on, and he, you know, he shined.
Meanwhile, down in Florida, the guy they traded for him, the guy who talked his way out of town, Seth Jones, was reunited with, we mentioned Bobrovsky. They played together in Columbus, and they were reunited, and they talked about how happy of a story that is. And I'm so glad that Seth Jones is so happy now. Now maybe he can play uninterrupted hockey without having his focus distracted. Look, he's there. He's saying the same type of things. He was so, you know, unhappy making $9 million a year in Chicago. Anyway, here's what Seth Jones had to say after his first game as a Florida Panther.
You know, it's obviously been a tough, you know, 3-4 years there in Chicago. Not what I envisioned, you know, when I signed there as a free agent a few years ago. And I think, you know, when it came to my game, I was just putting so much on myself, trying to do it all, and that wasn't the right thing, obviously. But it was hard mentally, day to day. So, you know, I'm happy that I can just come here, focus on hockey, just play a simple hockey game. Like I said, trust all the players around me, and just win. You know, winning's fun. Winning's everything to us players. And I think that, you know, whether, you know, I'm sure my minutes go down a little bit, but I think that's fine. You know, I go out there, play whatever it's power play, it's penalty kill. Just be solid all around, and that'll help the team.
That's Seth Jones. He played 22 minutes, 56 seconds last night against the Lightning in a 2-1 victory. So if they win the cup or make a run and Seth Jones has something to do with it, they won't mind giving up a young franchise-caliber goaltender to get there with the first-round draft pick. And the Hawks aren't going to be complaining either because this is a guy making noise. He was a bad vibe guy in the dressing room after he went public with his trade demand. But okay, I'm done with Seth Jones now.
Seth Jones, the bottom line is you didn't make the people around you better, and sayonara. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
I just think that when you're making that kind of money, and that doesn't necessarily buy you it doesn't necessarily mean you're oblivious to the kind of things that people who aren't making that kind of money go through. But I do think it creates a level of expectation in terms of your professionalism and your decorum. And if you're unhappy making $9 million a year playing hockey in Chicago, it's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to go. So,
have you gotten it all off your chest, the Seth Jones?
I'm done. Yeah,
okay.
Thanks.
If the Panthers win the cup, are we going to revisit it?
Yes, definitely. Okay. I promise you that.
But are we good for now?
We're good.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah, we're moving on.
Okay.
All right, we're moving on.
Okay.
That's a good cue. All right, so today in the NFL, Ruthie's done talking about hockey.
No. I know you have a lot of things to say about Seth Jones, so I'm just curious.
I'm disappointed in him because I think that he's a guy that you know expected more from on the ice. Expected a little bit more off the ice. He was an assistant captain on this team. Also, got to keep an eye on, I have to check, maybe Texas caught this, and I'm a little disappointed that I did not. Did Bedard play last night with an A on his sweater? Is Bedard now an assistant captain? Because that's what he did over the weekend, and I'm just wondering if that was the case. Is this the next step for Connor Bedard's maturation process being given a little bit more of a leadership role because the guys surrounding him are actually not that much older than him. He's 19, but last night he was on a line with Frankie Nazar, your guy from Michigan, mm-hmm. and Landon Slager, the Domer. And that's a young line that the Hawks are going to be building around or playing with. But it is also the 38th different line combination that Bedard had played with this year, so I wouldn't get too comfortable. Nonetheless, all right, NFL, it's tag day. The deadline comes 3 o'clock today.
3 o'clock.
The big question is not what they're going to do in Cincinnati. They tagged T. Higgins. They still could trade him. We've had a conversation, an ongoing one, on the Big Pro Football Show on CHSN every night, 5:30. Tonight, we're going to do it again, right?
Every night. Same shameless time? Plug.
Okay. It's not that shameless. Okay. Sam Darnold and the Vikings. What will happen? What should happen? It doesn't sound like, according to the reports from the national reporters, that the Vikings are going to tag Sam Darnold. I think that's a little dangerous. I think it's a risk.
I think you're right. We had this conversation last night, which I think is a good one. Who needs who more? Do the Vikings need Sam Darnold, or does Sam Darnold need the Vikings? And you and I sort of disagree on this, I think, because there are going to be a lot of teams that need a good, dependable, reliable, veteran quarterback. And it might behoove Sam Darnold to hit free agency and see what his market is. And he can always maybe come back to the Vikings if he wanted. Or
that seldom happens, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because the agent gets involved, other factors get involved. And let's say that the Vikings allow him to hit the open market. At that moment, they risk losing him.
Sure.
And they also, it's hard for them to say that they're going to write a blank check, like match what the Raiders would offer, for instance. And yet, if you're Sam Darnold, you have now exposed yourself to that possibility and almost, you know, reality that if the Raiders are offering you 3 years at $120 million or more, and the Vikings want to, you know, aren't at that number, you're going to the Raiders for the more money, even though it's not a better football situation. It just isn't.
You got Pete Carroll. You got Tom Brady, your guy. It might be interesting. And also, I do think it's important to refresh everyone's memory that Daniel Jones is with the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. And Kevin O'Connell, it might be another project for Kevin O'Connell and maybe less expensive to keep him and see what happens, and much less expensive, right? Because the Giants ended up releasing him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
Daniel Jones is great.
I mean, he's not great, but Kevin O'Connell could help. And I do think that there's something to be considered there for the Vikings financially when you feel like J.J. McCarthy is waiting in the wings and Daniel Jones may hold you over, and Kevin O'Connell is this quarterback fixer.
I think this is important in Chicago because everything is about the division. The Bears have positioned themselves, at least emotionally, in the fan base, like to think that what you thought was possible last year is really going to happen this year. They're going to win more than they lose. They're going to make a run at a playoff spot, and you believe in Ben Johnson. And I think that's why everything that happens to the Packers, whether or not they're going to trade for DK Metcalf, we'll get to that. Whether it happens to the Lions, can they overcome the loss of all these coaches, and is Aiden Hutchinson going to be back to top form? And what happens with the Vikings, all is relevant to what happens with the Bears. So this Sam Darnold deadline today is significant for those reasons. In that context, if I were in Minnesota on Sports Talk Radio in Minneapolis, I would be reminding Kevin O'Connell and his front office, Adelphi Mensah, that you won 14 games last year. It is not easy to win 14 games. I know how the last two went. In football, coaches like to keep strengths. Football people talk like that all the time. And I just don't know how you make a strength a weakness with all the uncertainty that comes with J.J. McCarthy, who I think is a good prospect. But prospects are just that. They're not proven yet.
Yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty with J.J. McCarthy because he has the knee, and the knee times two, and how ready will he be? Could he get re-injured? You know, he kind of missed out on a rookie season. If he was rehabbing, like, he may not have even really been getting rookie, you know, redshirt reps. So you wonder sort of if there is some sort of dependability that you can count on with Sam Darnold that keeps you a contender, at least in the division, if not in the NFC, when you have someone like Sam Darnold there just in case. And I get it. I understand it. Listen, you know me. I was Sam Darnold president of the fan club this
year.
I thought it was awesome. Yeah. I told you, I think, early in the season that the Vikings weren't going to make the playoffs.
Yes,
and
you did.
I was, you know, tail
but
between my
it.
Legs.
You owned it.
Tail between my
yeah.
legs, and I owned it. And it was a great story. The Sam Darnold story was probably, arguably, the best in the division of all the storylines. So it's going to be fascinating to see what they do. And obviously, like you said, even if they don't franchise tag him today, he could still be a Viking.
We'll talk a lot of football. We got the Bears rumors. We got the Khalil Mack thing to address. Curious about that as it keeps getting a little bit louder. And his return the return of the Mac. I guess we should get that music ready just in case, because Khalil could be on his way back to Halas Hall. We'll talk about that during the pick six. Cubs and Sox were in action yesterday. They both lost. Cubs 10-2. Sox 5-2, I believe. 5-4 against the A's, but they had back-to-back homers by Mike Tauchman and Luis Robert Jr. This Cubs thing with the third base, I know they gave Matt Shaw the day off, but every time that Gage Workman gets another hit and goes a little bit further toward making a deeper impression, I start to wonder about the possibility. His story's a pretty good one. Rule 5 guy. Did you see the Sun-Times today? It was a really good story by Maddie Hayes, I believe. Dustin, you know who his best friend is? Was in his wedding? Brennan Davis. Remember Brennan Davis?
Yeah.
Now, Brennan Davis was a former Cub hot prospect, now with the Yankees.
Hot prospect, right? I mean,
told Gage Workman good things about the Cubs. So Gage Workman plucked from the Tigers, Rule 5 draft, doesn't know what his future holds. There's a lot of things about the Rule 5 draft that are weird. So if he's with the Cubs, he's got to stay. If not, he goes back to the Tigers. And he's playing every day like he's trying to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a left-handed hitter playing third base. I want Matt Shaw in the lineup, but I don't know that I want Gage Workman to go just yet. I like the idea of a Gage Workman. Plus, he's a great name.
It is a good name. Gage.
Gage. All kinds
it's
of headlines.
It's a good baseball name.
It's a good headlines, too. Gage,
yeah.
Making progress.
Spoken like a true newspaper guy.
Workman-like fashion. Cubs beat the Reds. Whatever. He is a good guy to have in camp. Plus, he could be your opening day third baseman. If this Japan debate ends up with, as Bruce has indicated, Matt Shaw not making the trip to Tokyo, Gage Workman could be your opening day third baseman for the Cubs with John Birdie at second or Bruhan. But Gage Workman he's going to have a right-hander on the mound. He's a left-handed bat. He could be your opening day third baseman.
Obviously, I think Cubs fans want to see Matt Shaw there, but you can't be, like you said, you can't be that upset about the alternative in this moment.
Right now. So
right now.
It's a long season. Last night, did you see Northwestern lost at home to UCLA? 73-69. So the Wildcats, it's going to be a tough climb. They have, I think, their final home game or their final Big Ten game on Saturday against Maryland.
Isn't that crazy? Final Big Ten game? It's March.
I know. Well, March is here. Madness has arrived.
March.
Right around the corner. I think they're playing a conference tournament somewhere. I think they started the conference tournaments this week. And so Selection Sunday right around the corner. Also, we're going to get into a lot of the maybe Bulls stuff because Io out for the season. As we know, he's having shoulder surgery. But tonight, the Bulls and the Cavs. And I have confirmed Max Strus is healthy. Strus will be
loose.
On the loose. The Strus is loose tonight.
Strusy.
So that's going to be fun. At
another
the United
guy
Center.
Covered. Let's just check him off the list.
Wait, okay.
Put that Strus juice in it and knock it back.
Knock it back. Strus. They should sell that. They should have an IPA. Every time the Cavs come to town, they should have an IPA at the United Center. Strus juice.
You want to talk about a good story? I love the Max
Strus
story.
He is former Bull. That makes it a better story and
he
a harder story
to
tell.
He wishes he was a Bull,
take.
I bet. Well,
not now.
Not right now. Not in this
he
moment.
He was with the Heat.
I know.
He killed the Bulls. Now he's with the Cavs. Reminding the Bulls of their mistake, you think he wants to play for the Bulls?
Well, I'm just saying, to be play for your hometown team.
Yeah, that
is
would be great.
Good. But he's in a great situation, don't get me wrong.
He's
and I think going to the Heat for him, I mean, it revitalized his career. And, you know, it's funny, I know you're a big Jimmy Butler guy. But
yeah,
but Max credits Jimmy Butler a lot for pushing him and really making him better. So
he made a difference in Max Strus's career?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll give him a plus for that.
It says a lot about Max Strus and sort of his toughness and grittiness, and you know, not everyone gets along with Jimmy Butler pushing them and knocking them down to build them back up, but Max loved it.
You just said something nice about Jimmy Butler. You gotta go. You gotta go.
I didn't say anything. I'm just telling you this.
No,
story.
I know. Jimmy Butler's on the same list of mine that Seth Jones is on there somewhere. I'm sure there's other guys we could
Tom
come
Brady.
Up with. I don't have anything against Tom Brady. I just
all
don't
right.
think
Travis Kelce.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, Brandon. Enough from you, too. All right, we got to get out of this. We got to get to the pick six. Ruthie Polinsky's in for Mully today. We have the pick six next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What did you think of the Blackhawks goalie Spencer Knight's debut, as well as what he had to say about getting traded from Stanley Cup champion to one of the worst teams in the NHL?
I was very surprised. But I think when you turn pro, you realize that that's always a possibility. I've seen it happen a few times. So I've always known that's a possibility, and that's the world that we live in, and we choose to live in as professional hockey players. So I'm just happy to be here.
So what did you think of Spencer Knight's performance last night and those words we just heard?
What a great night indeed. He was everything the Hawks could have hoped for. This was a kid who was traded and was rendered speechless by the deal. He said it himself after he found the words to describe his emotions. He was on a team that has as high of a standard in the NHL as any team in the league. The Florida Panthers are going for it. And part of that involved being willing to part with a prospect as highly regarded as Spencer Knight. 13th overall pick of the 2019 draft out of Boston College. He was a valuable piece of the Florida Panthers, 12-8-1. Backup goalies are hard to find in the NHL, and he was a good one. Now he's a starter. I don't know if they've broken the news or how they told Arvid Soderblom or Peter Mrazek to a lesser degree, but their time is over. Soderblom can still figure into the mix somehow, maybe as a backup, maybe as competition. Mrazek, his deal, $4.5 million. It's going to be hard to move him before the deadline on Friday. But make no mistake, this is Spencer Knight's moment. And it was certainly his night last night. 41 saves. That's a good way to say, hello, Chicago, I'm here. Everything is going to be fine eventually. Once they surround Connor Bedard with talent, once they fortify that blue line with the young talent in the pipeline, this is going to be a quality hockey team again. So they say. That's the promise. But with Spencer Knight here, it's easy to see why they think he can deliver.
Oh, what a night. Early March in 25. Ah, darn it.
You guys planned that. You guys planned that. It's so good.
Pick Six is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with the contractors from finishingchicago.com. It was excellent. I was trading texts with a buddy of mine who lives down in South Florida, is a big fan of Spencer Knight, asked me what I thought of Seth Jones. I'm now thinking about sending him your opening statements this morning, David. David not shy about his not big love affair with Seth Jones. He made a great debut, stopped 41 King shots last night. I don't think he really gets any better than that. And after the Hawks took a 1-0 lead, he allows a goal, and then that was it. And then the Hawks went on their way. So that was great. He wants to be he should be playing basically 3 out of every 4 games.
Agree.
This should not be a 3-goalie rotation moving forward.
Nope.
Or what are we doing here? So, Peter Mrazek, see ya.
Tonight's going to be a good night. Hey. Okay, that was mine. You guys took my oh, what a night, so I had to come up with something. Listen, I've talked about it. When I worked at NBC6 in South Florida, I covered Spencer Knight, his rookie season, when he made his debut, and the South Florida community, hockey community, was on the rise. Spencer Knight electrified that building every night that he was in net, to the point where there's a tradition in Florida Panthers hockey. When you sing the national anthem, they always yell, and the Rockets red glare, and they yell red. That's a tradition. When Spencer Knight got off to such a great start with the Florida Panthers, the crowd would add another yelling noise, and they would say, gave proof through the night, and they would yell Knight. When he would start. It was electric, and I was there the first night covering the game, and I was there the first night that it happened, and I had goosebumps everywhere.
Cool.
It's an incredible story. He's a great kid, young man, and Blackhawks fans need something to root for these days.
No doubt.
Connor Bedard, a little underwhelming this season, right? A little, it might be even generous.
I think so.
Spencer Knight gives you something to root for, and I think it gave the other players something to root for. Seth Jones, goodbye.
They won back-to-back games for the first time since December.
We always talk about the interim coach bump.
Yes.
This was the new goalie bump. Okay.
I like it.
Spencer Knight, welcome to Chicago.
I got a feeling that tonight's going to be a good night.
Oh, that's a good question.
What is the appropriate level of concern for Cubs center fielder Pecro Armstrong being a late scratch with hamstring soreness? What's the recommended approach here? Is he in any danger of taking that dangerous trip to Japan, or should he stay back with Nico Hoerner and possibly Matt Shaw?
You guys talked about this dangerous trip to Japan and how planes are different now and it's easy. You can have your feet up. You have the first class. I think the biggest problem about traveling somewhere far away is you don't have access to the facilities and the training room and the all the tools and necessities, and maybe the some of this training staff will stay behind to make sure that everyone's rehabbing. So I think that's sort of the point that I wanted to make. It's not necessarily about the flight. I think it's more about the access to facilities that you have in Chicago or, you know, Arizona that you wouldn't have in Tokyo.
Okay.
That's the first thing I want to say.
Well put.
Hamstring, it makes you a little nervous because those linger. And soft tissue, we see it a lot of times, especially for someone like Pecro Armstrong, who's on the move. He's on the move. He's a runner. He's speedy. He's quick. He's doing all the things. So
he's PC amazing.
He's PC amazing. And there's a little bit of concern there. I does feel like they're playing it safe in this current moment. But that Japan trip is going to be here before you know it. And
week from today.
Yeah, I it would be disappointing if he doesn't make it, because you really want him to sort of be the next star for that team.
So the Cubs play today. I'm guessing we won't see him out there today because they're going to be cautious. They don't play on Wednesday. They're getting their first day off of spring training. So I think that's going to be – so they got the Padres are there today. Wednesday is a day off. Then Thursday they host the Royals, and that's going to be a night game. So – could PCA and could Shaw, if PCA and Shaw are both in the lineup, I think there's a shot. If they're both out of the lineup, then I don't think there's a shot. So then what? Who's going to be playing center field? Right?
Who's the backup center fielder?
Is Ian Happ going to play center and you're going to put Suzuki in left?
Hey, Suzuki made a nice catch yesterday.
Right. I mean, we saw that. I mean, Suzuki's, you know, tinkering in left.
Yeah.
So is Ian Happ your backup center fielder? Could Ian Happ be the opening day center fielder?
No.
I'm just saying. What about the domestic? Who will be the domestic? Let's have a drink. Okay. I mean, if I hear one more thing about the domestic opener, okay, I'll have another domestic beer.
Domestic opener is what you order at 4:30.
Exactly. I love domestic opener.
I don't like this at all. This is a guy who is having a great spring. He's running around the bases like a little leaguer, and having all these extra bases and wreaking all this havoc. You can't do it with a bum hamstring. I don't know. I just hope it's a one-day thing. I hope it's a one-day thing that we're making too much out of. And yeah, I say that, and I see this morning that Colson Montgomery still is suffering from back spasms in White Sox camp. And I'm thinking, okay, things that you want to ignore, sometimes you can't. This can't be one of those things. They need PCA healthy. They need him running the bases. They need him on two good legs. So whatever it takes to get him so he's ready to go opening day, ready to be on that plane. It's not the space shuttle. You're not launching it. It's just a flight to Tokyo. Put him in business class. Put him in first class. Let him recline in the seats and make him comfortable. But I want PCA in the lineup on opening day.
It's a wonderful question, one that I've been thinking about.
That's the voice of our guy, Bruce Levine. White Sox hit back-to-back home runs. Luis Robert Jr., Mike Talkman, continuing Robert's hot start. But what about Talkman, given the chance to play every day? Could you predict how many games Talkman will play and his home run RBI totals? Where will he hit in the Sox batting order?
Well, I think we tend to overlook Mike Tauchman. You take him for granted like you did with the Cubs, perhaps, and now he's gone. The Palatine Pounder, he comes with a nickname, and yesterday he delivered a homer, and you like his progress. He's a steadying influence in the clubhouse. He's a really steadying influence, I think, in that lineup. If I were the Sox, I might lead him off. Yesterday, he batted third. I don't think he's your number three hitter. I would lead him off because he takes a lot of pitches. He sets a good tone. He's a professional hitter. They don't have a ton of those in that lineup. And if you can get him as many at-bats as possible to wear down pitchers early in games and early in counts, then you want Mike Tauchman to be that guy. I don't know how many home runs he hits. I don't think that's his game necessarily. He can go deep every now and then.
But Pounder.
He's the Pounder, but he got that nickname probably when he was 14 and he was hitting it like 350 feet and nobody else could hit it that far. But I do like the nickname. I do like the player. I would lead him off, and I hope he stays healthy because the Sox have some issues in their outfield with injuries. I hope he stays healthy enough to play 130 games.
130 is a good number. 22 home runs?
I think that's a good number, too. That would be a good season
for Mike Tauchman. If he's batting leadoff, right? That, I mean, now the RBI total might be lower, right? Because if he's batting leadoff. And then, just to follow up on our last, because I think this is important, the fastest flight, according to the internets, from Phoenix to Japan, it's over 14 hours. So it's not just a little tiny flight. It's a 14-hour flight.
How long do you, most normal people sleep at night? 8 hours.
I mean, the last time you did that was
Saturday. Maybe.
He had 7 home runs last year, 29 RBI in 2024. If he more than doubles his home run total on this team,
what a bargain.
It's great.
I didn't predict my total. I think he's going to go 15 and 70. That'd be a good season.
Okay. 29 RBI last year.
70 is a lot at the leadoff spot.
Okay, right. 15 and 60.
There we go.
Right, he's great. It's fun to watch him. I think hopefully he makes the people around him sort of better and energized and can elevate the people. I do like him in the leadoff, but if he's gonna be the Palatine Pounder and hit a lot of home runs, maybe you don't want him leading off so you can get more RBIs. But I think he's exciting, and maybe that'll, you know, I think. Here's just a little theory. Luis Robert Jr. has for a long time sort of been like the White Sox, right? That you want to be the, I guess, sort of face of.
Well, he is.
He is.
Yeah.
Maybe Mike Tauchman coming in, taking a little bit of that spotlight, makes Luis Robert fight to stay on the field and play a little bit better. I think the Mike Tauchman impact can't be understated. And if he produces, even better.
I don't know if that answered the question.
That's the voice of Billy Donovan. What version of the Bulls should we expect against the Cavs tonight at home? If the game is close in the final minutes, let's say within single digits, do you think Billy Donovan will play Matas Buzelis or continue to sit him in crunch time? And is that message consistent with the Bulls' mission?
What version will we get tonight? Who knows? Take a draw out of the hat. Let's see. Could it be the good Bulls? Could it be the okay Bulls? Could it be the bad Bulls? We'll find out here shortly. I would love to see more Matas in crunch time, because if you're trying to build winners and create winners, which has been Billy's message, we got to learn how to win and play games. We're not tanking. We're trying to learn how to win and build a culture here. Then you want to see Matas, who in a lot of ways could be your best player in some way, shape, or form right now. You want to see him in those moments. And learn how to win, oftentimes in this day and age in the NBA, happens in the final minutes and in crunch time. So if Matas isn't in there and it's a single-digit game in the fourth quarter, I'll be very disappointed.
I would be also disappointed. I doubt that it will be single digits, but Buzelis needs to be playing as much as humanly possible. I mean, the Cavs are a 12-point favorite.
12.
The total's 224.5 per our friends over at Circus Sports Illinois. But what the Bulls really should do is pay close attention to how this. The Cavs are what the Bulls should be aspiring to be. The difference is, okay, like all NBA teams that are worth a darn, is you got to have a star. Donovan Mitchell is a star. And then you put people around the star. I mean, Zach LaVine. Did you see what your guy, Zach LaVine?
The
Western Conference Player of the Week.
Thank you for noticing that. It's not on the rundown, by the way. Why is it not on the rundown?
I forgot.
Why are you censoring?
I forgot.
Your own, putting your own personal bent in the rundown.
Molly's not here today, so.
I'm sorry.
But, I mean, if the Bulls were to keep it to single digits, I would be shocked. But this is it's a Tuesday night in March.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of thing that happens on a Tuesday night in March. Like, I wouldn't be floored if we walked in here tomorrow and the Bulls won the game. But I also wouldn't be shocked if we walked in here tomorrow and the Bulls lost by 20. So to Ruthie's point, who the heck knows, right? Pick it out of a bag.
Well, if the Bulls win the game, it will be because the Cavaliers looked at this as a Tuesday night they could take off.
And sat Donovan Mitchell.
And,
right?
And maybe, yeah. they are the number one seed in the East. They're coming in here 50-10.
50?
It's crazy.
They are 50-10. They win five. That means they win five out of every six games. And this is a team that is number one in the East. They have designs on an NBA title. Winning that this year with this collection would essentially, you're right, they have a star, but they also have a collection of players that are all-star caliber. It's not just Donovan Mitchell. It's everybody else that's contributing in a way that makes that roster look deep and as talented as it is. The Bulls, it's the NBA, they could take a night off and they could surprise some people. I doubt that happens. What you want is the Bulls to probably resemble the kind of game or to the kind of team they were on Sunday. They played the Pacers really well for 3.5 quarters, and then they ran out of gas. And that's going to happen against playoff teams. But Bezelis has got to be in those moments, in those crucial sequences where he learns things from those experiences. He's probably going to guard Donovan Mitchell tonight. It's going to be a long night because he's been guarding the best player on the other team. He's been doing the Patrick Williams work until Patrick Williams comes back, whenever that is. Is he going to come back this year? There's a report that he could, KC said, maybe later this week on the road trip, possibly.
Oh, please.
Whatever. But Matas Bezelis, if you're going to be a team that embraces this developmental stage of the season, then you've got to let him develop. Even though it could be difficult on his psyche because he can't guard guys down the stretch. So if it's close, he's got to be in the game.
Such a good question.
Our lads, David Syverston, raved about the batch of NFL running backs to us yesterday.
Deepest running back class I've ever had. And I've been doing this with our lads for 13 years now. And I've never seen a group quite like this. And I'll tell you what, it's at the top of the draft, these first round pick. I have three or maybe even four first round grades. But also, rounds 3, 4, 5, you're getting guys that have legitimate starter grades. You can go down the list of guys and say, hey, we're going to add to this backfield. It's really, you got to answer the question, what kind of back do you want? Do you want a pass catcher, a speed guy, a between the tackles, bruiser? You will be able to find one of these guys for the first five rounds, no question.
In that context, does that make you feel like the Bears should or shouldn't be open to drafting a running back early? Does it depend on free agency?
Did you see where Ashton Gentry has a Hallis Hall visit reportedly set up?
No.
I think it said he's got a Hallis Hall visit set up. That means that they're going to invite him to the premises to show him around. That's going to raise expectations.
Yeah.
That's going to raise expectations to what happens if he's there at 10 and you're Ben Johnson sitting next to Ryan Poles and you want to get the running back to imitate Jahmyr Gibbs. That's a conversation that's going to be an ongoing one until draft night. And I am going to keep an open mind about those possibilities, as I continue to say. It is as deep of a running back class as a lot of the guys, including everyone from Our Lads and some other scouts, have talked about. It's as deep as they can remember. That means at a non-premium position, which I guess running back still is or isn't, that even though I thought the running back was back in the NFL, I thought Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry revived the position. If that's the case, and you take Ashton Gentry at 10, depends who else is there. It really does. I wouldn't take Ashton Gentry over Will Campbell. I wouldn't take Ashton Gentry over Kelvin Banks, two offensive tackles that would probably help you more. But I'm not going to say unequivocally I would not take Ashton Jeanty at number 10, because if Ben Johnson wants him and finds ways to use him and they go out in free agency, they find two starters on the offensive line, it's a different scenario.
I think TBA. It's all about free agency, David, to your point, right? If they find the guys, and we're going to do an interior lineman roundtable before we get out of here at 10. We're going to go down to Indy and down to Atlanta and out to San Francisco to talk about some guys that could be at the top of the Bears' buying lists come March the 10th. You know, the other thing we don't know about, I love the media that covers the Bears, but another guy that I have not heard Ryan Poles and or Ben Johnson address this offseason is Roschon Johnson. What do they think of him? What does Ben Johnson think of, like, if he could put his hands on Roschon Johnson, what can he make of him? We did hear him address DeAndre Swift. They were together at one point, so he knows DeAndre well. You know, maybe the whole, you know, bringing the running back in, having the meeting with him in Indy is to kind of throw off the scent, maybe.
Could be.
Or maybe, listen, we're not hiding anything. We like this kid a lot. You know what? Or maybe they want to build him up, and maybe teams want to come up to 10, and the Bears would be willing to slide back a little bit and gain a third or a fourth round pick if this class is as deep as David Syverson from Our Lads told us yesterday.
In this context of what Syverson said about the running backs, you absolutely should not draft a running back at 10. There's no reason to do it. And David, you talk about Ben Johnson wanting the next Jahmyr Gibbs. Ben Johnson wants an offensive lineman. Ben Johnson needs offensive lineman. Based on what they did in Detroit, that is how he functioned, was the protection, the blocking, so that you can have guys like DeAndre Swift. Ben Johnson calls him Swifty. I know you're a big Swifty guy. Ben Johnson wants offensive linemen that can block, that can create holes, that can protect,
that can
and then can maybe throw touchdowns every once in a while.
I knew you were going there.
Hopefully we're not handing any, you know, fourth and goal situations off to offensive linemen early on in the Ben Johnson era. However, back to the running back conversation. Is that a position of need for this Bears team? I believe so. I do not strongly want to see them draft a running back at number 10 overall.
Well, that's a great question.
That's the voice of Mike Florio, 844. He will be here. Jimmy Johnson retired from Fox Sports after 31 years, leaving a big void in the studio. Who would you like to see replace him? Is there any other choice but Tom Brady, David's guy? And how important is that job?
Probably the most fun I've ever had in my career, and that's counting Super Bowls and national championships, was at Fox Sports. You know, I have an absolute ball with my friends on the set, and the best friends I've ever had there with Fox. But I've made an extremely difficult decision. I've been thinking about it for the last 4 or 5 years, and I've decided to retire from Fox.
That's Jimmy Johnson with the Colin Cowherd program. So, your reaction to Jimmy's retirement, and who would you pick to fill those big shoes?
It's sad. I think Jimmy Johnson adds a great dynamic to the show. I also think that that show needs a shakeup. It's a lot of men, a lot of older men that have had great careers and add so much wisdom and expertise. I would love to see some youth. I would love to see some energy. I would love to see something different there. And I think this creates an opportunity to do that. I don't have the same vitriol toward Tom Brady David has toward Tom Brady in the booth. I think Tom Brady got better in the booth. And I was thinking about this on my drive in today. Being an analyst is a full-time job. People have dedicated their lives, their careers, their 9-to-5, Monday through Sunday, to studying and preparing to have that job. Tom Brady has 37 jobs. One of them is being a part-time minority owner for an NFL team. It is impossible for him to dedicate as much energy and thoughtfulness and attention to the job of being an analyst that a lot of other people are putting in. And Tom Brady has unbelievable stories. I do think he's a great storyteller, and I actually very much enjoy watching him and Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman interact in that setting on when he does make those studio appearances. I think it's a great dynamic, and I think it's nostalgic for a lot of people that watched those teams. But I just want to see some energy, and I don't have a candidate really to throw in the studio.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to put you on the spot a little bit. Like, we need a name.
It's
hard. I don't disagree with where you're going.
Yeah.
But I can tell you who I don't want. I don't want more Gronk. I don't.
It's tired.
It doesn't work, especially in that setting.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. I don't think they respect him much, the guys who have been on that set for forever. And I feel like we might be the ones who watch those shows. I know Dan Bernstein, like, goes out of his way to tell you that he doesn't watch. I record those shows. David shrugs his shoulders watching on Twitch. Okay, I think a short term, assuming that he can still join this program on a weekly basis. And here's the key, Coach Wanstead. Brandon and I were just talking about this. I think what you're missing when you take Jimmy away from that booth, and you add Gronk, let's just say that's the easy 2-foot putt. He brings energy. He brings some youth.
Yes.
You need a coach or a GM.
Yes.
A former coach or GM on that set. We don't need another player. We need a former coach or GM. And at one point, Dave was doing the pre-game show on Fox. No longer does. So I think Coach Wanstead would be great in that role. Plus, he's got the Cowboy connection. He's got the Jimmy connection that people want.
No. So, there's no better storyteller.
Right. He would be great in that role. But if that means he can't be on this show, then no offense, Fox.
He'd still
find
be on this show.
Find somebody else.
Love Dave. That's an understandable idea. He does a terrific job. But this is a no-brainer. If you're Fox, this is a no-brainer. Tom Brady goes from the booth to the studio. There's no question that this is the move to make. This is the invitation, an opportunity to remove any kind of these questions about conflict of interest, have everyone parsing his words on every weekend, having him bigger than the game that he's covering. This is an opportunity for them. Put him in the studio. Put Greg Olson back in the booth with the number one team. This makes sense. It's football justice. This is what is Jimmy Johnson, thank you for being as good as you were at this job for so long. And good luck in retirement. Enjoy all those Heinekens on your boat. This is going to be a tremendous way to walk into the sunset, literally, down in South Florida. But this opens the door to having Foxes. This is an escape plan. This helps them avoid the conflict of interest that Tom Brady will face on a weekly basis as the minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. So hopefully they take advantage of this. You got your dynamic in the studio with Gronk and Edelman. If they want to do that, they can use them in a variety of ways. But this is Fox's opportunity to do the right thing, put Brady in the studio, put Greg Olson back where he belongs with the number one team, and call it a day.
No shot.
Gonna happen. We'll see. All right, that's the pick six. We will do the extra point when we come back. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Reports. There are reports. They're surfacing, including one from our own Chris Emma, that the Bears and Khalil Mack are considering a reunion in free agency. Pros, cons about the return of the Mack to the Bears.
Well, that would be a welcome return, I believe. You're not bringing him back, if you were to bring him back, to be the guy he was in 2018. He's not going to be the game wrecker. He's not going to be the guy that you spend all week game planning against. You're not going to have sleepless nights by the opposing offensive coordinator. How do we block this guy? But he could be disruptive enough in 20 to 30 snaps per game. Situational pass rusher, complimentary piece, opposite Montez Sweat to make it worth your while. What will that price be? I can't imagine more than a year or two on a contract. And the Bears have the money to spend. If you want to remove uncertainty from a position that you have some, then welcome him back. The return of the Mac. We've got the music. You need have the need. Why not? There are worse ideas this offseason. The Bears will probably execute a couple of them. This is not a bad idea. I think it makes sense.
I think he's durable. You nailed it with the price. Okay, at what cost? How much of the 79-ish mildo that the Bears have to spend would end up going to Khalil Mack? He had 31 sacks over the last three seasons. I mean, the Bears haven't sniffed a double-digit guy in sacks in the last 3 years, right? I mean, who was the last Bear to have double-digit sacks?
I think it might have been, Sweat. Oh, no, he did not have
Robert Quinn.
Robert Quinn.
And yeah. Again, like, I mean, the idea that Robert Quinn, like, even sniffed Richard Dent's sack record is just embarrassing to the numbers. But 31 sacks, 193 pressures, always plays 16 games, very durable, 9 forced fumbles. I remember the first year of Mac being very good and the rest of it being meh. Kind of meh.
He was a force.
He was a game wrecker. To be,
he was to a game wrecker. He wrecked games. Did you fall asleep during the 2018 season? Were you in a Cub coma? Come on. He would give him the respect. Khalil Mack was a player.
In 2023, Khalil Mack had 17 sacks. Career best, okay? Obviously, he was playing with Joey Bosa. You can't tell me that someone with 17 sacks isn't a game wrecker. Last year, only 6 sacks. He had 4.5 through his first 8 games and then kind of suffered an injury is what I'm refreshing my memory on. I agree with you. I think it's interesting. First of all, I'm just surprised at this period. Like, it just doesn't feel very Ryan Poles-like to trade someone away and then bring them back.
It doesn't. You're
at
right.
a discount.
You're right.
But if Khalil Mack wants to be here, he loves Chicago, wants to, you know, maybe end his career here, finish his career here, and have an impact, play opposite, you know, Montez Sweat and make that for a handful of snaps a game, like, great. I don't think anyone would complain about that. It would be interesting to see what that looks like contract-wise, what he's looking for. The man's made a lot of money in his career. You know, maybe he just wants, there's an emotional aspect to returning to Chicago. And if so, I think Bears fans and probably the organization would welcome him with open arms. I don't believe that it ended on poor terms.
I don't think it did. I think Ryan Poles got rid of him as one of his first orders of business because his contract was bulky. And that is what general managers do. They clean house, and he was part of the house cleaning. I don't think there were any hard feelings. And certainly he's 34 years old. So I think that's something you take into consideration. And while not game-wrecking status, he still is worthy of respect and attention. And he, opposite Montez Sweat, might be a player that is reliable. Mm-hmm. You need reliable. You got rid of DeMarcus Walker. You've got money to spend. If you're not going to get Josh Sweat to play opposite Montez, then this makes sense. This could be something that they pursue. We'll see. What do you think? 312-644-6767. What do you think about Mac coming back to Chicago? What do you think about Spencer Knight at the United Center? 41 saves. Blackhawks beat the Kings. Do you care? Are you interested? Did they get the best of this trade? Let us know. 312-644-6767. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Spencer, how was that reaction? Your first home game here with the Chicago Blackhawks. You put on a great show. Way to go.
Yeah, hey, that's all. That's a team win right there. That's not just one person. And I've always loved coming playing here as an away opponent, but play here as a Blackhawk is 10 times better. Love you guys.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ruth Polinsky in for Mully today. Oh, what a night indeed. Spencer Knight, 41 saves. Last night against the Kings in his first appearance in a Blackhawk sweater. Wasn't it cool he had the old helmet, the helmet from the Panthers and the pads? He didn't have time to get the new gear. But now, would you want to change anything if you're him? Don't you still want to wear the stuff, even though it doesn't match necessarily? You got to change at some point, but would you change when you're hot?
It depends on, you know, that feels like it's a little superstitious
Yeah.
Type of.
Hockey players are definitely superstitious.
100%.
Goalies especially are superstitious.
Yeah.
And you have a guy who's definitely into his routine.
Yeah.
Very much ritual, has his rituals, has his protocol. I wonder if he changes.
I wonder.
Hawks are at home a couple more times this week, I believe. They've got 3 home games in 5 days. So that's a good little homestand to get used to a new goaltender, the goalie of the future. Kyle Davidson made a trade that I think has been, I think, pretty praised locally, but I think also nationally, it's been understood that it was good for both teams. Seth Jones down in Florida, they win last night. He may be a piece they could use as they get ready to make a cup run. The Blackhawks get their goaltender of the future and a number one pick. They've now got 2 picks in the next 2 drafts in the first round.
It's hard to imagine a better scenario for the exchange. First round pick, Spencer Knight, goalie of the future, someone people can rally around, be excited about, add some youth and energy to, you know, sort of what the organization is building.
Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Maybe you were there last night chanting for Spencer Knight. Maybe you have thoughts on what the Blackhawks' next move, or maybe you have a thought on Khalil Mack coming back to the Bears and wearing number 52 again. Who's wearing 52 now? Who's 52? Would he have to give it back to 52?
I want to say it was Daryl Taylor.
Oh, that's a good call. That's a good get. Yes, Ruthie, I think it was Daryl Taylor.
I think it was.
He could give it up if he's even coming back. Let's start the phone conversation with David, who is in Chicago. David, welcome to Mullion Hall. How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful. Thank you kindly, sir. Good morning to you both.
What's morning. Up?
I have to admit that I really thought that the trade for the Blackhawks, you know, we'll see. You know, I think it obviously the certain basic results look great. As far as the Khalil Mack, I mean, I think at this point in time, I think the Bears need to keep the ball rolling. You know, I mean, is Khalil Mack the same Khalil Mack from 8 years ago? No. But, you know, I mean, he's got to be better than what they had. And, you know, you add some, and I'm sorry, I'm just going to throw this out there, but, and I know that you're both going to probably disagree with this, but Ashton Jeanty, if he's there at 10, they take him. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Appreciate the phone
call. Good call. Is Khalil Mack as good as he was 8 years ago? I don't know. Is he as good as he was 2 years ago? 17 sacks?
Nobody is.
That's crazy. But 17, imagine.
He's not here to have 17 sacks. He would not be coming to do that. He'd be here to supplement your pass rush. As for the goaltender, Spencer Knight, I do think that it's interesting. He's here because Seth Jones executed a power play, so to speak. And when you talk about player empowerment, we seldom talk about player empowerment in the NHL. And what this has done, I think, is gives the league an example of a player that talked his way out of town. He didn't make demands necessarily, but he made it untenable for him to stay. He had an A on his sweater, but he wasn't leading anything. He was leading the Hawks down a path to dissension. That was it. And so Kyle Davidson acknowledged on CHSN over the weekend to Tony Granato, who asked a terrific question about the comments accelerating the trade process. And he did. So the more Seth Jones talked, and the last time he spoke, he basically crossed the line. So I'll be curious to see if this has any sort of ripple effect in the NHL. We see it all the time in the NBA. We see it in other sports. But the NHL is not a league that I think about when I think about player empowerment and guys forcing their way into trades.
Yeah, I think that's sort of what's disheartening about it, because you almost think of hockey as this sort of more authentic. I don't know if that's the right word to use.
More relatable.
More relatable. When you talk to hockey players, I always loved covering hockey because the guys are so relatable. They're so real. They're transparent. They're honest. It's like you're talking to somebody at a bar. Like, they're just, you know, very wholesome and sort of just grateful to be in to play the sport. And I don't know. So I think that's what sort of gives you it doesn't leave a great taste in your mouth with
no,
what
it does
happened
not.
With Seth Jones.
708 with the line of the day. That's the first power play Seth Jones has executed well this season. Touch them all, 708. Very good text from you. And exactly right. So Seth Jones out of town. Spencer Knight is here. Good for the Hawks. The goalie of the future has arrived, and he certainly looked the part last night beating the Kings. 41 saves. Wow. All right, when we come back, today is the deadline that teams can apply franchise tags on their players. It happened in Cincinnati. Will it happen in Minnesota? Doesn't look like it. A lot of Bears implications. A lot of stuff going on around the National Football League with now less than a week before free agency begins. We'll talk about it all. Ruthie Polinsky is in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.